Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. And today's guest, we had one of my absolute best friends, Christina Cimarelli. So it was super interesting interviewing Christina because she's actually really different from me. Her entire life, she's always really been able to like identify other people's emotions before she could identify herself. And I am the total opposite. I can always identify my own emotions very well before I can do that for someone else. And so it was really interesting to just kind of compare and contrast like how different our personalities are and our stories are. So yeah, I'm really excited to tell our story and share it with you all today. Okay. So who was Christina Cimarelli in the beginning of your journey with silencing your emotions?
Well, I got to paint a picture of me as a child, I feel like you would be shocked to see this child compared to
because
me now.
Because I don't know you in that way.
Yeah, there's definitely me in there. Like, it wasn't like, whoa, different person.
Yep.
But in some ways, it was like a completely different person. I was very, it was almost like every day was like kind of like a haze. I was kind of like a robot. And I was just like, I don't remember thinking, I'm sad. I remember thinking I'm mad. I'm scared. I'm this, I'm that. No, I didn't really think like that. I didn't feel like that. I didn't express that to anyone. So it was just like living every day and just like being obedient, doing what I'm supposed to do, doing my best, and just getting mad. That was okay with me getting mad, but everything else, I was just like happy, mad. That was all that I had in there. Happy, mad. That was the scale.
Okay.
I just wasn't aware.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I had no idea. And it just feels weird to think about now.
Yeah. Well, and do you feel like that was because you had so much to do? Like, you were an older sister of...
Nine.
Like, you didn't really have time for emotions, let's be honest.
Yeah. Okay. I did have time. It would have been better, honestly, if I had allowed that for myself.
Yes.
Oh, I think allow was maybe the word I was looking for earlier. I didn't allow any other ones.
Oh, okay.
Acknowledge. That was the word.
Okay.
Bam. Yeah. Boom. So being the oldest of nine, but there's one above me. So second oldest of 11.
Yeah.
But being that firstborn female and all that, it's pretty crazy because when anything happens, it's like nine heads or however many were alive at that time, five, four, six, whatever. Look at me. They all look at me. So something happens that's scary. They all look at me. And then I go, oh, if I react really scared, it's going to freak them out.
Yep.
I'm not going to react scared. And I'll be like, guys, it's not scary. Calm down. It's going to be fine. Which helped them calm down. Yeah. But I know now that if I were to have been like, okay, guys, this seems like a scary situation. Yes, I'm feeling scared, but it's totally doable, we're gonna handle it, this is gonna work out. So saying, yeah, I'm feeling scared now, but I'm not gonna lie down and be helpless.
Yeah.
Different thing. So I was really trying to be very caring and it did help a lot with that, but I didn't realize what I was doing to myself and what I was doing to them with the role model that I was being as far as emotions go.
Yeah.
Like, don't feel them. There's nothing to feel. Nothing to feel here.
Yeah, yeah.
Move along. Nothing to feel here. That was basically me. So that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Do you feel like you would have been maybe like embarrassed by your emotions at all? Or do you just feel like you just kind of had to protect your siblings and like that was it?
Yeah, protection's definitely like the biggest. I mean, all my dreams revolve around protection. Almost all of them.
So true.
Like so many dreams I've had. Like since I was a kid. So
wait, you mean
dreams.
Like literal dreams?
My literal dreams. Okay. I had so many dreams of like saving my family or saving people from some kind of disaster. That's like all of my dreams. Oh my gosh, I need to go in there and save that person from that thing. So definitely, I don't think I knew that mm-hmm. I would have been embarrassed by anything. Like, it's, I was so out of touch with myself
yeah.
to the point where it wasn't, oh, I think this is embarrassing. I don't want to feel it. It was like, there's nothing here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't
like
even know.
Like, there literally wasn't anything there.
It's scary to think about now that I'm yeah. like becoming more aware. And now when I see other people who are really in touch, like some of my sisters,
yep.
I'm just like, how do they do that? But how did I think that there was nothing there?
Yeah. Right.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't hear talk about it. I didn't know anything about
right.
it.
So, well, I remember you mentioned to me that there was a time when your sister Lisa, who is like super self-aware, the total opposite
very
of
self-aware.
You, she like essentially pointed out how you felt about yourself. So talk about that. Like, that
yeah. So
weird.
This was really crazy. And this is kind of probably the moment where I realized I have no idea what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like something was like shocking.
Yeah.
Probably.
I didn't really change as far as, oh my gosh, I have emotions. I didn't quite get that. But I was like, wait a minute. It's possible to know that about yourself. So I was, I think, 15. And something that I won't be talking about on the internet, as we talked about before, something mm-hmm. happened in my life that was pretty, pretty painful, traumatic maybe, pretty painful. But I didn't know that it was painful.
Huh.
I didn't think it was
my
painful.
Gosh.
If you looked at what happened, you'd be like, yep, that's painful. But I was like, oh, what? So something happened and I was responding to it in a way where I was kind of shutting down and didn't know that. Hmm. So I was feeling sick and I just thought I was sick. And Lisa writes me this letter.
Crazy.
She's 12.
Oh my gosh.
She's 12. I'm 15. She writes me this letter, and I remember it. I have it somewhere in like a box of like things that you keep, you know. I have this letter of Lisa, and her handwriting's like the same as it was. She was 12, probably.
Same person.
Super and it's like a pretty long letter. And she's like, hey, I know that you're feeling like this because this thing happened, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? How do you know that?
Yes, yeah.
How on earth do you know that? Yeah. And I was like, is she right? Oh my gosh, I think she's right. How did she see that?
Yeah.
How did she even know that? That thing, it would flash through my head. I hate being so vague with everyone because they're like, what happened? But some things, we talked about this before, some things you don't share them on the internet.
Absolutely.
They're personal, they involve other people, it's not your business.
Yep.
And it's like something in your childhood you don't share.
You don't have to share all the details of your life.
Yeah, it feels weird being so vague, but. Yeah. I just didn't know. That thing would like flash in my head like, oh yeah, I remember this thing. It would flash in my head and then I'd be like, I would go, no, 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 no. I'm not upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as I got with things, which still happens to me now. A thing will flash in my head and then I go, no, 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 automatically. And then I go, oh my gosh, if I'm going, no, no, no.
Then that's a sign.
That's a sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's kind of that moment where the first moment of all the shutting down, very first moment, probably – yes. Lisa writing me that letter.
Did you react like poorly at first or no, not at all? Like if someone writes me a letter like that and I don't know anything about myself, I feel like I'd almost be like annoyed or angry. You didn't care?
No, I was not mad at all. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Okay.
It shocked me out of my comfort zone of numb.
Yeah.
Numb was my comfort zone.
Okay.
Completely numb.
Mm-hmm. So how did you like... How do you feel like you were distracting yourself from your emotions, like when you were kind of numb, essentially?
Yeah. So it's interesting to look back at it and be able to like see that now and how I do it now as a 28-year-old.
Yeah.
So back then, there's so many things you can use to distract yourself.
So many
options.
Yep.
And some that are more destructive than others. There are probably even more that I can't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember using... like goals and accomplishments, like, okay, what do I want to accomplish? What am I trying to do?
Yeah.
And just thinking about that all the time, using it as a distraction, as like, okay, I'm constantly thinking about this. I can't think about anything else. I can't think about emotions. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a conscious thing.
Yeah.
It was I was very unaware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Another one was sugar, food.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Sugar
and we've talked about this before.
Everything.
Yeah, we've talked about this. I never really thought that I ate too much sugar until Catherine, the sister right below me, got her license and she, or maybe it was even her permit, and she started driving the car that I was driving.
Yeah.
And it was before I was the only one in the driver's seat. No one else drove it. She drove it. And then she's like, Christina, what is wrong with you? I open the door and there's like tons of candy wrappers on the little like pocket thing. And I was like, what
do you mean? I can't imagine this now because it's not you. Although I feel like there was a time recently when I saw you eat a lot of candy. So
you were there yesterday. I ate 2 donuts.
Oh, that. I wasn't counting that. Honestly, but there's another
That was probably me being chill. That was probably me being chill.
You did tell me you were like, never get me Krispy Kreme donuts because oh my gosh,
they're so good. Well, I like to think I have a little more self-control sometimes. Most of the time now.
You're good.
But
back then.
But if things get emotional, you never know what's going to happen.
It's
true. Hormones.
It's true.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always had a wild appetite. Mm-hmm. I've had a wild appetite and I was a double zero when I was right before like maybe 16, 17 when I started to gain a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
I was so skinny.
Mm-hmm.
People thought I was anorexic. I was thinking of eating not as like, oh, it's time to eat, I'm hungry. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to get this like sugar rush, this feeling when I eat. I thought of food as like a feeling.
Yes.
You know?
And then you want to indulge in it, which you talk about being like overindulgent in your entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been known to overindulge in everything.
Yeah.
You know, working out too much. Like, not like constantly. I mean, like, you go and you do a crazy workout to the point where you can't exercise for a week, 7 days, 10 days.
Yeah.
Because you just went so hard. Your muscles are so sore.
Yes.
Moderation is hard for me sometimes, but I'm getting there. But moderation then, you know, it's like no emotions.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what moderation was. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to push everything down. I'm going to eat all the sugar.
Yep.
I'm going to go for the biggest goal.
Right.
I didn't know how to
talk
do that.
Talk about that too. How you like almost replaced goals with like you replace your emotions for like setting goals and accomplishments.
Yeah. So it's just like thinking about at that time, well, through my childhood, swimming and gymnastics were really, really important to me.
Yeah.
Sports were my number one. Oh, piano too. Oh my gosh. Singing wasn't really my number one thing. I loved singing all the time. It was just like a normal part of my life, but I would play piano for hours. Oh my gosh. It was so fun and just sit there and play and just think about what am I going to do next? What's my next goal? What am I going to do? I'm not feeling the emotions or anything like that. I'm thinking like swimming. What number do I want to hit? Like what time do I want to get?
Yeah.
How can I improve? Talking to my mom who's like coaching me.
Yeah.
What can I do to improve this? Gymnastics. Yeah. How can I improve that? Like I would just think about it all the time.
Yes.
And I would work so much. I'm the kid who would go home and be practicing and studying and working so hard.
Yeah.
Not the kid who they come back and they're exactly the same as when you last saw them. Like I'm improving in between every time. And it was like I made my life so full that I couldn't have thought or felt, couldn't have thought emotions or felt anything.
Right.
And it wasn't
it's totally
conscious.
A distraction.
Wasn't conscious at all,
mm-hmm.
but it was very smart of my brain. Like, okay, you can't handle these things.
Yeah.
Let's just fill you up so you can't think about any emotions.
Right.
There's no time for emotions in here.
Right.
And I'm just going and I always got something on my mind. I'm never like just sitting there like, how do I feel today?
So did you think that maybe emotions were like, I don't know if it's bad is the right word, but maybe like a waste of time almost, like knowing your emotions and like really embracing them,
didn't
I guess?
Didn't even think about them.
Gotcha.
Didn't even, the concept of emotions.
Didn't exist.
Didn't exist in my world until I was, I don't even know what age. I mean, late teens.
Dang.
The concept of emotions.
Yeah. Okay, well then, talk about how you were a teenager and you first like started to notice that you had emotions. What were like some of the voices in your head that like what were they telling you like when you started to feel your emotions and know that they were there?
I don't even know if I can remember or I don't even know if they were saying
anything.
Okay,
yeah.
The voices of like my own emotional voices really are really just starting to creep up like recently.
Yeah.
Recently.
Okay.
So I wasn't aware. I was so good at silencing them.
Yeah.
I couldn't get in touch with that.
It's wild.
And to you, you're like, that's wild. And I can't even imagine being like, that's wild. I'm like, what do you mean? How did you, how would it be to live a
to
different
know
way?
Everything about yourself?
How would
it's kinda
that
nice.
Be?
But also sometimes like not nice because then you know like too much about yourself too much of the time. And you're so fixated on that, and that's all you can think about. And, like, that's how you, like, start to develop depression sometimes because you just constantly think, like, well, we'll talk about this more for you, but for your depression, it was more like, I feel numb. Mine, it was like, I actually feel all of my stuff. I don't want to feel it. So I'm going to numb myself in some way. And then, like, but I still, for me, I still just, like, I try to get to the bottom of everything. Like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And the more I, like, dove deep, the harder it was, it seemed like, the more I got depressed.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's more relatable to me now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely more relatable now.
Yeah.
Not even close to relatable back as a teen.
Oh my gosh. So it is wild to me.
So weird.
Yeah. But, well, the crazy thing is, like, for you, which, being your friend, I know this very well, you, like, totally notice things in other people very well, yet you can't know yourself somehow. So, like, what does that look like? Because you were always a big sister for people. Even, like, outside of your family, it was friends, too. They would always go to you with, like, their problems and stuff, so you could always share what you thought they were experiencing. So talk about that. Like,
yeah,
talk about how people came to you for advice and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, people have been coming to advice since I was really young, just because I was, like, that typical older sister.
Yeah.
And I think it was different when I was younger than it is now. Before, it was just because I seemed like I knew what was going on. Okay. So I'd be like, okay. But yeah. Then as I got older, it's because I had a lot more insight. And there's an interesting reason for that, talking about me being able to look at people and point out things and then be like, how did you know that?
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. I wasn't always like that. That wasn't a natural thing to me.
Yep.
I, about the age of 17, 18, I started to study psychology.
Okay.
I went to college when I was 16, and that's where I started to, like, learn about psychology a little bit.
Okay.
Then I started to learn a little in college, and then when we moved to Malibu, mm-hmm. I was 19, and I was so bored. We had, like, nothing to do, even though we had a record deal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You think there was, like, all this crazy stuff to do.
Your record deal
but
career.
But it was, like, maybe one thing a week, and then, like, nothing the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So I was so bored, so I started going to Barnes & Noble, like, every day, and I would go for 9 or 10 hours, and I would just read the whole, like, the whole freaking time, just reading. I didn't have an iPhone then.
Okay.
I just had, like, texting on my little phone.
Wait, at 19?
So, yeah. I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't get an iPhone until way later than most people. Uh-huh. There was, like, not much to do, so I'm sitting there just reading, and I started to go into reading about all sorts of different things, like relationships, marriage, divorce, therapy,
mm-hmm.
depression, mental health, like
tons
of stuff.
Yeah.
Just getting into all of it, I was like eating it up. I was like, what is this world?
Yep.
So I started just reading everything and getting into birth order psychology and then all the personality stuff, just getting into all of that.
At 19?
Yeah, that's when I started. I was like devouring it. I was so hungry for it. I was like, who's been hiding this from me my whole life? This is so cool. And I was like, why is no one talking about this? Like, this isn't really mainstream. Like, people don't talk about this.
Not at all, especially not then.
And I was like, this is making my life so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's making things make sense. Yeah. I feel like this is like the whole like freedom situation here where I started to be like, oh my gosh, like a weight is lifting, like things are starting to make sense in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like life makes a little more sense now.
Okay.
And so through learning all that stuff, I was able to look at other people and be like, oh my gosh, I get why she's doing that. It's because of this.
Okay.
And connect it. It made me such a more compassionate person. Because I used to be like pretty judgmental. We've talked about this, both of us.
Struggle with that for
in different
sure.
ways, kind of. But I definitely would like look at girls and be like, oh my gosh, she's wearing that. Then it turned into, oh my gosh, she's trying to get his attention by wearing that.
Huh.
Oh my gosh, she wants attention because she's lonely.
Yep.
And that's because of that. Like, I made it the thing.
Did you ever judge
sense.
Yourself when you were like analyzing people? That's what I struggle with actually, is like, I'll be like, oh, she's hiding this about her. And so I judge. You don't do that?
What do you mean?
Like, just in that scenario, I would almost be like judging that person and be like, no, this is actually what's happening. She is wearing that because she like wants to, she's insecure and like wants to look nice for this guy. So I would like judge her for that. You wouldn't though?
I mean, that could be true.
Yeah.
That could be just a true statement.
I know, but I would just be like, oh, what a dumb reason or something like that. Like that's what I would do.
I'd be like, I would go to the point of
like it was like a light for you
almost.
She
feels insecure because she doesn't have
like you're, you
a
would
sense
have compassion.
Of worth.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, if only she knew that she doesn't have to do that to get attention. Yeah. She could just talk to him and connect with him on a different level instead of like a shallow physical level. Yeah, yeah, that's an example. So but compassion. I started to see like why things were happening or like, oh, they're behaving that way in school because of they're scared to fail.
Yeah.
And they're scared to fail because the way that their parent put pressure on them because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered, like, am I even right on any of this stuff? And then I started to actually talk. This is how it got interesting. I started to, like, really ask people, like, have deep conversations. Mm. I did not have those before because I didn't know what to think. I was just like.
Again, crazy for me because that's all we ever have, I feel like.
So. I didn't really like the shallow stuff. I always felt weird. But I didn't know what it would be like to really have that conversation that we have now that, like, feeds your soul. Yeah. So I started to have those with people, and they would open up about what was going on. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Exactly what I thought. Or I would learn from them, like, oh, my gosh, she's doing this because of that. It makes sense. And I would just have so much compassion for people because I wouldn't just see the surface level thing. I would see, like, the reason behind it and connect it. So that is kind of what happened.
Okay.
And I'd be able to see other people, and it was very easy to identify that. Like, this girl, one time, she asked me to just, like, read her. Like, last year. She's like, just – I didn't know her. I just met her.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this. We got in deep conversation. She's like, just read me. Tell me what you think. So I went – she's like, just be blunt. And I was like,
question.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was, like, telling her, like, I think it seems like – whatever. I don't remember what I said. You have a lot of fear in there. You have some insecurity about, and I've named different things.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're feeling this. And then she's just like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
You don't even know me. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like a vibe and I connect it with something that I think happened. Yep. I would ask people about their parents. Was your mom like this? And they'd be like, no, but my dad was. Or yes, that's exactly how my mom was. And I was like, what?
Because you studied all that information. Probably.
Yeah. Wow. But I'm not at the place where I'm like, oh, I can just
figure
see a person
out.
And bam, bam, bam. It's more like I see a person and I know what questions to ask.
Good point. Okay.
And I get to the bottom real quick.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. Yes. And Michael, my brother, my older brother, he taught me a lot of this as well on the other side. He taught me observing, which is what he's been doing. It's his natural talent. Observing and seeing little things about what are people wearing, like what choices do they make with their appearance, their facial expressions, their lifestyle, like what's going on, and how you can connect that to the same kind of things I'm talking about. So when you took my reading a vibe in reading an appearance and you put it together, it's a pretty interesting situation for reading people.
Yeah.
But yet I couldn't look at myself and read myself. I was so confused. How do I read myself?
Right.
And I didn't even know that until kind of you pointed that out to me. You're like, you can read other people so well, but not yourself. You're like, did you notice you like point out all these things about other people, but you're not able to do the same thing in yourself? Yeah. Like, I can connect their dots, but I can't connect mine.
Yep.
Which is why, like, we talk so much and you connect my dots for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, or I'll ask my sisters, like, hey, here's some dots, guys. I know this. It's like I'm a detective. I'm like, all right, got this piece of information on myself. It's this thing. I got this thing and I got this thing. I don't know how they connect or if they connect. Anyone got any ideas?
Yep. Because for like me and Lisa, we are really good at knowing ourselves. And so that helps us to connect the dots for other people. But that was like something for me that was learned. That was totally learned. Like being able to read other people. It took studying social work and all that kind of stuff. Like I couldn't just do that naturally because I just knew myself. So I assumed other things about other people because I was thinking that they were like me. But then I realized I was wrong all the time. So I started to see people from their own perspective and was like, okay, now I can actually somewhat read people correctly. Yeah. Wait, so, okay, talk about then, like, you started reading Brené Brown, too. I know she was huge for you when it came to, like, vulnerability.
Yeah, I think that all the reading I had done a few years before that really prepped me for that. Yeah. So I think if I had read... First, I saw her TED Talk. Kath got on the Brené Brown train so early.
Yeah, okay. How old are you
She
guys?
Got her first book, I believe, The Gifts of Imperfection.
Okay.
The one that people didn't know about as much as Darren Greatley.
Yeah.
So she got on that train. Gosh, how old was I? 24, 23? Okay. So this is 3 or 4 or 5 years into me discovering emotions
and being able to read other people. Okay.
Now it's starting that journey. Yourself. So I saw her video and she's talking about shame. I believe I've watched so much of her stuff. It gets a little mixed in, but I think it's shame and vulnerability with the first one. I can't remember if it was only one or the other, but some kind of, I think it was that shame. It's at least shame.
Yes.
I think vulnerability was in there.
And being in the arena and you see like yourself in the seat, like shame. Your critics. Yes.
So she is talking about that and how uncomfortable and how nobody wants to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And when she brings it up, people run away, basically. I was just like, what is this? That was something I hadn't seen. I hadn't learned about before.
Okay.
I was not really aware of shame, like what it was.
Yep.
I was like, oh, I feel embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That was it. I don't really know what this is. I wasn't like, I feel so much shame. I didn't know what that was. So reading Daring Greatly.
Okay.
I remember vulnerability. Okay. That was that really the concept of vulnerability. That she taught me a lot about that in that book. Yeah. Shame and connection. And how you have to be vulnerable to connect with a person.
Okay.
I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So I started to learn about that, and that definitely changed my entire life. It changed the course of our career and my personal life with relationships and everything. And then I was like, I got to tell this to everyone that I know. I got to share this with everyone.
Yep.
Because it definitely started to open me up and open my mind up so much.
Okay.
I love to have my mind opened and like my mind blown.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to that point where like, oh, I can read everyone exactly. I know what they're doing. I want to be like, I love it when I'm thinking about something I think is true and someone's like, actually this. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
How did I not get that? I need to figure out what I missed.
Yep.
I need to figure out what I missed.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
So she was really, all of her work was like, I hadn't seen anything like that. I was like, what the heck is this? It was like a new world.
Dude, same. Yeah.
It was a scary world because it's like
vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. What? It made me realize I was not vulnerable and how much I hated or like avoided vulnerability. It gave me a little more like language and a little more to think about there of, okay, I've been avoiding this, I think, because I'm seeing it definitely as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be seen as weak. That's a big thing for me. I need to protect. I need to be strong.
Okay.
If I'm seen as weak,
that's right. Yeah.
People aren't going to respect me.
Right.
And if people don't respect me, no one's going to look up to me. I can't be a leader.
Yeah. You can't do your job.
Being a leader is such an important part of my life and my calling and my identity. Is I love to lead people. I love to teach people. So I thought if I'm vulnerable, they won't respect me and they won't listen to me.
Right.
But that's she blew my mind. Yep. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's like, actually, it's the opposite.
They'll respect me more.
You'll lead even better.
And relate to me more when I'm authentically being vulnerable.
Yep.
As we talked about.
Yes. Okay. So what do you feel like you started being vulnerable about? And like, did you see a almost like an increase of connection in your life after that?
I would say in songwriting is where I felt like I could start to be vulnerable, like sharing personal stories.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm trying to put this in a timeline in my head. I definitely started a bit before that whole thing. I just started with it a little bit, like being more vulnerable.
Yeah.
But yeah, sharing personal things in songs, sharing my stories in songs. That was the first way I was able to do it. And then I guess sharing myself with Nick, my husband, Evan, who doesn't know, sharing,
so
sharing more of my vulnerabilities with him. Although it's really interesting because I was very vulnerable with him from I met him when I was 19.
Okay.
From that age, I was very vulnerable
with
him.
So it's more the outside
people. And he was the only person.
Okay.
The only person.
Okay.
I was able to be vulnerable with.
Dang.
Was Nick.
Yeah.
Because he was just so ridiculously not judgmental, like not even close. Like I've said this to you so many times before. It's like if I have a stain on my shirt, I have like maybe like a smear of makeup all over my face. He literally doesn't see it, which is annoying because I'm like, could you help me out? But it's great because I'm like,
he's blinded.
He's just like, you are flawless. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But He was a place where I was able to be completely vulnerable and never be scared of being shamed ever for anything. But that was like this tiny little piece of my whole world. Mm-hmm. So I think that was helping me along my journey, but it was a tiny piece. So being able to be vulnerable in my work to the appropriate degree and with my family, with my friends, that definitely took a while.
Yeah.
And I'm still on that journey, but it took me a while to get down that road.
Right. For sure.
Much at all.
So, okay. Well, when did you, because I know that you have like really struggled with depression and stuff, and you didn't realize that until recently. So, well, I mean, I guess you knew that probably a while ago, but you were pushing it down.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was. Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I knew when I was 15 that I struggled with depression. I knew that. But I didn't know that I did. Even before then, I can identify as a kid that I felt it.
Yeah.
I know, oh, that was depression. It would come in like little waves. But I didn't realize like, oh my gosh, I never stopped actually dealing with it. Mm-hmm. There was a time, there's plenty of times where it hasn't been much in my life.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that I've been in and out of depression
for so long.
I don't even know when.
Yeah.
I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. At least like
15 years probably.
Yeah, probably at least 13, 14, 15 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know like when it started, but I didn't want to admit that to myself. Like you're saying, it's like, and I pushed it down.
Yeah.
Like I just pushed down, oh, even though I've been through it, like I'm like, no, I'm not still dealing with that. I'm just having some bad times. Mm. Just like tricking myself.
Yep.
Constantly tricking myself. It wasn't like, I know this is depression. I'm going to deny that. It wasn't like that. It was just like, what? What do you mean?
And do you feel like you isolated yourself as a result?
Yeah, I would definitely just want to be alone in my room all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard to piece together, but yeah, it's just like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to hang out with everyone. I just, or I don't want, I don't feel like hanging out with everyone. And I don't know why.
Yes. Yep.
Why do I not want to hang out with anyone? I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah. So what did your depression look like for you then? Was it like staying home and not being around people and like questioning your purpose? I know is a big thing.
It's crazy because you'd think that I've asked myself this question. Like, what does it look like for me?
Hey, listen, I had to learn how to ask big questions like this.
What did it look like for me? You'd think I would know this. I mean, after years of therapy, I should know this. But I'll try my best. I'll try to riff a little here.
Dude, well, it's crazy because in my life, I had to tell my friend this lately, but she was the one who, like, I had a friend named Suzanne, or still have a friend named Suzanne, but she was the one from when I was a kid who would ask, like, the craziest, deepest questions. And I was like,
bless her.
What are you doing? Like, why are you asking this question? I don't know the answer. Why would you ever ask that? And I didn't know any of the answers ever that she ever, to the questions that she asked me. Well, now it's funny because I, like, studied social work and stuff, it's like, now I know how to ask those questions. And because I know myself better, I think. So when you know yourself better, I think you can start asking those big questions, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it
Anyways,
looked
back to the question.
It looks, it's interesting because I'm a very like high functioning person.
Yeah.
So
didn't look any different.
And I'm very much like an overachiever type of person. So it might look like normal functioning, but to me it's very much under functioning. So it looks like I'm laying in my bed and I'm not getting up that morning. I'm like, nope, I'm not getting up, but I know I have to work.
Yeah.
So until the moment when I have to rip myself out of bed, I'm just going to lay there and just not really exist.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'm done with everything, I'm just going to get back in there. And I'm going to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that I'm just not really going to live, kind of. And then there's obviously all the crazy thoughts. Everything that the mindset that goes in with everything, just tearing yourself down.
Yeah.
But sometimes
listening to the devil's lies.
Sometimes it's just feeling nothing. And I don't get into all the deepest, darkest things.
Yeah.
Don't get into all of that. It is dark.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
But It's really dark, but it's like numb, tearing myself down, mm-hmm. numb.
Yeah.
And I really pushed to stay numb.
Yeah.
And I even felt comfortable being numb. It was very comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is my comfort zone.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like having good times because then I can come back down. I'd rather just live down here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound that good now, but yeah. In the moment,
mm-hmm.
it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Things are so distorted when you're in that mindset.
Right.
You think they make perfect sense to you. Like I'm
and
a
you
burden.
Can justify it.
Yeah, you're
somehow.
Like, I'm a burden to everyone in my life. This yep. makes perfect sense.
Yep.
I am totally sure this is a logical thought.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. I'm a burden to everyone in my life. Yep. They would be so much happier if I were not in their lives.
Right.
This makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's so distorted.
Yeah.
It's scary because you don't realize how distorted your thinking is
right.
when you're in that place.
Yep.
So getting out of that place, I'd have to be like, I was so distorted when I was there. And then when I get back in the place, I'm like, you know this is distorted thinking. You know this isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's not true. But you're only like trusting your past self who believed that way because you don't believe that.
The future self yet.
You don't believe yeah. that in the moment. You're like, okay, I'm trusting my past self that went through this, but it doesn't feel like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like fact and truth yep. right now.
Yep.
This feels like the truth, but it's not.
Yeah.
So it's scary
mm-hmm.
when you get in a place where you can't even like figure out what's true
right.
or you're convinced something is true that is not true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
I know. Well, I was at church the other day and I think I kind of shared this with you, but they talked about how for so long, like, we are conditioned by people around us to think a certain way. And then, but really, you're actually created by God to think a different way, to think at this high level of thinking because you have the spirit in you. And it's like, what's wild is, we talk about this, but like a renewing of the mind is what really helps a person to like overcome those really deep, dark thoughts is when you hear these lies coming at you, like, oh, why are you even here? Why don't you actually go ahead and turn to God and be like, hey, God, I need your thoughts to overpower
yeah.
the enemy's thoughts, because this is actually how I'm created to think. I was conditioned to think this really low level thing, but I'm created to think I am unique, fearfully, wonderfully made, all that kind of stuff. Like, those are the truth. And, like, I am an image bearer. So I
yeah.
am clearly good. Like, those are the things that we are actually created to think. But the devil from the day one is, he's like the dev from day one. He's like, nope, you're not going to think like that. You're going to think you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
I know. Okay, so what was, like, the deepest part of depression for you? What did that look like?
Well, I've definitely gotten to that point like a few times over the last 13 years, I would say. The first time I really got there, I was 15, and I talked about this in a video that we did called like
yes.
Our Testimonies or something. I did lay it out there if anyone wants to get into that, but it's been different every time, which is interesting.
Mm.
Kind of creepy. It's like getting more creative. That kind of creeps me out. But at that point, I thought I was a burden. Like I was saying earlier, mm. I was sure that I was a burden
yeah.
on everyone. Because me having so much emotion, which so much going on, so much, I don't even know if I would
like
think of it as emotion
almost?
Back then, but it was like something so dark going on in my life.
Yeah.
I thought was such a burden on my family. Like it's so much for them to deal with, you know?
Mm.
So at that point, I was like, everyone would be happier if I was not here.
Mm.
And I believed that.
Yeah.
I felt like it was true.
Yeah.
Like really.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, really dark place to get out of.
Yes.
That was a hard hole to climb out of.
Yes.
That was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was never going to happen again once I got out of it. Happened again. I don't even know how many more times, but I just think it was a couple.
Yeah.
But during that period, it was hard for me to be in touch with myself. So I would just deny when I was in that place. I'd be like, I'm not in that place. I'm not
yeah.
in that place. But then I get real with myself. I'm like, lady, you're in that place. You're there
yeah.
again. But it would be different. It would be like
different thoughts.
Trying to remember. Yeah, I'm trying to remember in between all these. It would be like, you can't make an impact on people. Everything you're doing is like, it's useless what you're trying to do. You are useless. You're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
I never had the you're worthless, you're a piece of trash kind of self-talk. Yeah. I never had that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had you're a burden. You are useless right now. Mm-hmm. You're not going to impact people. Hmm. And then the other one, which sounds pretty logical, honestly, yes. which is if life is this painful, why do I want to be here? Why do I want to live this if it's this bad? Yeah. If I have to live this point of pain, like this much, why do I want to stick around for that?
Right.
Which I've learned it's okay. You're going to come up again. You can handle this. You can get through this. You can reach out to someone. You don't have to stay in that moment and be alone because, yeah, living in that painful moment alone, that does suck.
Yep.
But when you open up to someone else and you bring them into the moment with you, and they're there to comfort you, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But in that moment, you're just thinking, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to experience this?
Right. And I'm alone.
Yeah. And I'm alone. I don't want to reach out to anyone.
Yep.
I don't want to burden anyone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's been different
every
time, which is kind of scary.
So it took you a long time to really like talk to people about it for the most part, aside from Nick probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How come? Definitely. Do you feel like there was some shame involved with it?
Well, firstly, I was denying it. So I was like, this doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Until like last year, I was like, this doesn't exist, really. Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just pretending nothing's going wrong. I mean, anxiety, you can't deny that one. For me, at least, I can't be like, I feel fine right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's harder to deny.
Yeah.
That's like, yep, I got a lot of anxiety. That's an easier one to be like, that's the word I'm looking for. Identifying.
Okay.
But I would say I wasn't opening up to people because I didn't want to burden them. Because it's scary. Sure. It's like, who can handle? Most, honestly, it's a lot for people to handle.
It is, yeah.
That's a lot to put on a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, who can I even? I mean, I could have gone, well, Catholics here, go to confession, go to the priest. They can handle that. They deal with this.
Yeah.
They can handle that.
Yeah, yeah.
They can handle that. I could have done that. Therapist, hello, they can handle it. But I didn't want to open up to my therapist.
Yep.
And then my husband, obviously, I can open up to him all the time.
Yeah.
It's great. But it's a point where you don't want to say it because you're like, I don't want to bring someone down today.
Right.
But that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to think of it as placing this heavy burden on them.
Yes.
There could be like...
It's letting them in the moment with you.
There could be a different way. And I thought of it as like, oh, now I'm putting this on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's still a tricky one that I'm still trying to work through in my head.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely getting to better places with that one.
So I would say you kind of shared like part of your journey with freedom, but there's almost like another half of it. Like you talked about knowing how to identify your emotions, but and now also like facing your emotions. Now talk about like sharing those emotions. When did you finally decide that, hey, I'm going to start telling people about this?
I don't know.
Because it's been, I mean, it's been within really the last year, right?
I mean, what do you think from your perspective?
I mean, I didn't really, I knew like that you were struggling.
But
with
I wasn't sharing.
Stuff. No, not really.
I wouldn't say so.
I almost heard it from other people. I heard it from your sisters.
Like them thinking.
Yeah.
Not even me telling them.
Right. They were sensing.
Yeah. Sharing any of my emotions with people is definitely a more recent development in the last like couple years, year or two.
Well, and I think that's why you probably really broke down when you were sharing it like publicly on your channel, because that was the first time you had ever probably really shared it on any sort of a big scale before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
like,
right? Whew. Yeah.
So
how did that feel?
And
how has it felt sharing it?
Felt actually pretty good.
Yeah. Freeing?
Yeah, I would
you
say.
You didn't have a vulnerability hangover, as people say. I'm like,
I mean,
don't have that.
A little bit.
Okay.
I definitely didn't want to discuss it when people were sharing all their stories with me in the beginning.
Dude,
I was
interesting.
Like,
I'm having the same situation right now.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about it. I feel fine now.
Yeah.
Now it's been several months later.
Yeah.
The beginning, I was like, I don't want to talk about this right
now.
And I said,
I'm kind of like, I don't want to associate myself with that.
Yeah. Which, I don't associate myself with myself.
Yeah. Which is like, my compassion wall is like down right now.
Yeah. So I was kind of, I just said to everyone, like, hey guys, that was a lot for me to share.
Okay.
And that was just a lot. So I don't really think I'm in the place where I can like talk about that with everyone sending me your stories. Yeah. And I'm seeing your stories. I appreciate them. Yeah. I'm really glad you're sharing them, but I don't feel like I can talk to you about that right now.
That's smart.
Don't feel like I'm able to.
Yep.
And I wasn't really even able to identify why.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, it's because I feel like this. I was like, I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm not able to.
Yeah. That's pretty cool that you like openly said that though.
I needed to because I was like, I don't want everyone to feel like I'm rejecting them when they're sharing so much with me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like it wasn't like out of anything bad. It was just like, I don't feel like I can do this right now.
Yeah.
So I think opening up with people was just, it was just like a gradual process that kind of accidentally happened. I don't think it was intentional. I think it just happened. Mm-hmm. I think just as I grow more emotionally, I just open up more.
Yeah.
It just happens. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It just happens. I do remember being intentional with my friends about showing more of who I am. And maybe that led into it. Because I remember before, like a couple years ago, in the beginning of living in Nashville, so like 3, 4 years ago, I was censoring myself. I did make a conscious change in the way that I acted around people for the better.
Okay.
And that, I think, is what led to me being able to open up emotionally more. Mm-hmm. So I remember in the beginning when we were in Nashville, first couple years, I was still in that place of like, okay, when I meet someone, I need to make them feel comfortable. I don't want to like intimidate them, a common problem I have. I want to make them feel comfortable and I'll just like water down myself and not have such a big personality, not be so loud.
That's right.
Not talk about like my goals, just be more user friendly, be more relatable, whatever. Yeah. Let me just be these things. And then I realized it hit me. I was like, you know what? I don't like the way that I have to act around a lot of the people that I've met here.
I remember you. I can't be myself a lot because you would always talk about how you like had a hard time almost like appreciating things because you didn't want people to think that like you had something really good. You didn't want to make other people feel bad.
Yeah. So everything
the whole
was
burden
like,
thing.
Yeah, let me just not make anyone feel bad about anything and just not be myself. Mm-hmm. Because apparently being myself makes them feel bad. It's just a weird thing. And I was attracting to me the people that I was meeting. It was all the same thing. It was like, I was attracting the kind of person who wanted me to be kind of small. So I would just kind of try to be small, but I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being like, you know what? I'm just going to be myself. I'm kind of weird sometimes. You know what? Most people are, at least behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Most people are. So I was like, I'm going to be weirder. I'm going to talk about my dreams and my accomplishments, not in a weird way, but just like not hide them.
Mm-hmm.
Just be myself.
Yeah.
Just like I don't want them to hide them.
Right.
And when I did that, I started to make new friends and different friends who really were okay with me being me.
Yeah.
And I think that led to, oh, then I can talk about this emotion I'm feeling or this thing I'm going through. I can open up more and it's okay. It's a new thing. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. And now, like, in therapy and stuff, you've had to learn how to use – or you have these emotion cards. Talk about that.
Yeah.
What is that?
So my therapist recommended these emotion cards to me. And I was like, what the heck are these? It's – well, actually, I want to talk about therapy one second. Anyone watching who's like, therapy? I feel like people think that in therapy you just sit there, like you lay on the couch and you say like,
that's what the depressed, movie whatever. Show. Yeah.
But sometimes it's like you just go in and you're like, yeah, I had this weird reaction to something that I don't know why I reacted that way. Mm-hmm. Or you're just saying, you know, I'm really stressed lately. I'm having a hard time like keeping up with things.
You just talk about what happened in your week or whatever. Yeah.
I don't think people know that. I think they think it's more dramatic than it is. So I want people to not be scared of going and thinking that it's so dramatic. It's honestly, it's a therapist, normal person like us.
It's just a conversation.
Just, it's like this.
It literally is this.
They're talking to you.
Therapy
session. They got some great tools.
Yeah.
You hope. Okay. Not all are created equal, but we hope.
Yeah.
We hope.
Yes.
They have some great tools to give you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the tools that I got was these cards. And it's just a card with like a little picture and an emotion written on it. And then some kind of like synonyms for that emotion or like really similar related ones. And it's like, I don't know how many are in there, like 40, 50.
Wow.
You just go through them. I go through real quick and I go through them and I go, which ones am I feeling now or this week? We did a week. I bought these cards. It's great.
Yeah.
Go through and you go, these are the ones I'm feeling. These are the ones I'm not feeling or I didn't feel this week.
Yeah.
And these are the ones I might be feeling, but I'm not sure. Or I might have felt, but I'm not sure.
Huh.
It was so crazy because I laid it out and there was like 25. And I was like, I felt 25 different things in 1 week?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
And it was like, oh, yeah, that's normal. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I've never had someone pick less than 15.
Wow.
And I was like, if you asked me before, beings. How many emotions do we feel in a week? I'd be like, two.
Yeah. Sad? No, not sad. Mad? Happy. Or happy mad, right?
That was recently, it. I would say two.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, oh, yeah, I felt... No, I'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I felt pretty good this week.
Yeah.
Good. It ain't really emotion.
Nope, not really.
Felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I felt pretty good this week. Not even using an emotional word. Like, I felt hopeful. I felt joy this week.
Wow.
I felt hopeless.
Maybe I should check out these emotion cards. Dang.
I felt anxious.
Yeah.
I was stressed. I felt overwhelmed.
Hmm.
But, and it's like some days I'll have a lot. Most days I have grateful. So it's like I felt grateful. Okay. Grateful. I felt grateful and hopeless.
Okay.
It's like, what? Huh. But that can happen. I'm like, man, I'm really grateful for these things.
On the same
and then I had a really hopeless moment.
Yeah.
And then I had a really joy filled moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. When I started doing those, I started to notice myself just talking about my emotions in my everyday life more and to myself and being like,
yeah.
Whoa. I think that I just had that outburst because I was scared. I was scared that I was going to lose this person's connection.
So it helps you connect to the, like the, you see the emotion, you're like, I felt scared. Oh, and here's why I felt scared.
Whoa. So then I just started saying that to myself.
Okay.
Instead of using, I still use the cards.
Yeah.
But yes, that's what happened.
It helps you dig into the deeper meaning behind it.
Yeah. Whoa. It helps you connect the dots in like a really visual, yeah. physical way. Mm-hmm. Like physically, like having these yeah. is very helpful to me to like not just be in my head.
Yeah.
Getting things out on paper.
Dang,
out
that's incredible.
So yeah, that's one of the tools that I use now and it really helps me. And it sounds mm-hmm. crazy. It's like you need cards to tell you your emotions.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. I need cards. You know what? Yep. I need quotes on my wall
yep.
to tell me to think positively.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like we're saying, no shame in that.
Yes. Shame off you.
I need that. Yeah.
My friend always says that. Shame off you.
Shame
and
off you.
And I'm like,
you.
Yes, lady. Okay.
Yeah. Shame off you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now that you feel like you've really identified your emotions, embraced, expressed them, and shared them. So you've really, in my opinion, unlocked your freedom. So who would you say Christina Cimarelli is like right now in this journey?
It's still tough
it's still
to, it's still tough to be like, I am this.
Yeah.
It's very tough for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And yet I could look at someone else and be like, they're this, 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 this,
yeah.
this. But I definitely see myself opening up and becoming, I see so many more dimensions of myself.
Okay.
I don't see myself as like two-dimensional anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like this, this. I see so much more in myself and there's so much more possibility there.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely now a much happier person, which is, it's really yep. crazy. I'm so much more able to have this positive outlook on things when things are going really bad
yeah.
than
joy,
I used to be.
Really.
So something goes bad and I'm like, okay, that is a challenge. I'm not mm-hmm. like, nothing's wrong. I'm happy.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
freaks me out. I'm like, okay, this is a challenge. I'm definitely not feeling too good about this right now. But I feel hopeful at the same time.
Yep.
I feel hopeful.
Yeah.
I feel hope now. And I don't think I was able to feel hope because that's the big thing. Hopelessness
yeah.
was such a big thing before. And I still feel hopeless all the time.
Yeah.
But hope doesn't leave
no.
like it used to.
Yep.
The hopelessness comes and it goes. The hope is just there
yeah.
now. I mean, I have to say that's God. It's inviting right. God into my life
mm-hmm.
way more than I used to. And realizing that I don't have to carry the world on my back.
Yeah.
I can give these things up to God. And
yep.
he's the source of my hope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connected to him now. And I know that no matter what, I don't have to be able to come up with a reason or a way out of everything on my own.
Yeah.
I know that he is going to supply me with
yes.
that. So that's where that hope comes from now.
That's incredible.
And that came through all that.
Yeah.
Crashing down, keeping the world on my shoulders and going, I can't do this. There's got to be another way. And then he comes in.
Yeah. So when you feel maybe tempted to like suppress your emotions and push them down, who, like maybe who's holding you up and what do you do to kind of not fall back into that temptation?
Well,
which you're just kind of talking about.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, no. I have to like say it to myself. I'm like, whoa. I'll set a 10-minute timer on my phone and put on this chill music. It's called like bedtime music.
Whoa.
I'll put it on 10 minutes and I'll just sit there and I'll be like, And I'll like force myself to like actually take a little dive, a little swim in there. I take a little swim through my emotions instead of being like running away from that little pool. I take a little dive in there and I make myself. So I'm like, And I would say who's holding?
Yeah, who's holding you up in this?
Who's holding me up? Besides God, you mean?
Sure.
You. You're like, Christina, let it out.
Let you're it like, out.
You seem troubled, whatever you say. Nick, when I express them, he's not as good at pulling it out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as I express it, he's like, Christina, yes, this is what
that's
it is.
Right. Yeah.
But I have to bring it up first.
Okay.
We're working on that place where he can point it out to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you kind of pointed out and then I'm like, oh.
Probably Lauren too.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Lisa, Catherine.
Yeah. Sisters.
The sisters. They're like.
Yeah. They keep you honest.
On. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's way better this way.
Right? It is. So what would you say is maybe like a inspirational quote or Bible verse or a story you've read that just really gives you that hope in all of this?
Oh gosh. There's so many.
I know, right?
So many. Yeah. So
you
many
can share multiple.
So many verses that I'll read in the moment. It's like perfect. It's kind of like it goes with the moment of whatever I'm going through, but I definitely, this is really simple. The most simple thing that like stops me from beating myself up.
Okay.
Every day,
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah.
The most simple thing, which I find it's the most simple things that are the most helpful because they're easily overlooked because they're so simple.
Yep.
You're like, it's got to be some crazy magic trick.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
It's like, no, it's something so simple. So the most simple thing for me is I'm constantly telling myself, it's okay. You learn from it this time and you're going to take that knowledge with you next time.
Hmm.
No matter what happens.
Yeah.
I just say, you're learning from this,
yep.
you will learn from this, or you learned from this. So I'm scared to make a mistake. It's okay if you make a mistake because you're going to learn from it. When I'm scared to take a chance, it's okay. If it doesn't go right, you'll learn from it.
Yeah.
If I just had a big failure, that's okay. You just learned so much from it and you're ready to go into the next round.
Mm-hmm.
See things as rounds. Like we got so many rounds
or like chapters
coming up.
And stuff.
Yeah, it's not the end. Like
it's
why do you
end.
Think it's the end all the time? That's what I thought.
Yep.
Most people do that. We like
your
write
story
these,
is not done being written yet.
Yeah, we write these dramatic endings all the time. It's like, lady, that ain't the end.
Right.
You're not at the end.
Right.
So it's okay.
True.
I'm learning. I reframe everything as I'm learning or I'm gonna learn.
Yeah.
Or I just learned that.
Okay.
And that gets me through so much.
Yeah. Dang. I love that. All right. Anything you want to share with the audience? The audience of cameras.
Pretty big audience.
Like, okay, because I would say we're about wrapped up, but just anything that you would want to share to maybe someone who is doing the same thing. They're like, maybe they're not even aware of their emotions. They're not even aware that they're experiencing this right now, or they are aware and they don't know what to do with them. Would you say anything to those people?
Yeah, I've been getting so many messages of people saying that exact thing recently.
Yeah. So what have you been saying to people then, maybe?
Well, this is tough because we want certainty so bad.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get certainty if you're going to live, right? You're not going to get certainty.
Nope.
So it's tough because when I'm going to tell people how to get out of this place and get to this new place where you're living, the place of like really living a fulfilling life is so in the midst of uncertainty. And it's just leap after leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really uncomfortable in the beginning, but it becomes much more comfortable.
Yeah.
You become great at leaping.
Yeah. Kind of becomes exciting almost sometimes. It does. It really does.
It's hard in the beginning, though.
Yeah.
I would say it's really, really hard to make that transition.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So you got to decide, I'm going to live in a different way. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know how exactly that's going to work because everyone's journey is different, mm-hmm. but there are similarities that that are going to be there and things you can learn from other people. Mm-hmm. So you have to make that decision like, I'm going to live differently.
Yeah.
And you have to realize I'm going to fail.
Yes.
So first of all, get those things out of the way. Yeah, you're going to fail mm-hmm. and it's going to hurt and it's going to suck. Yes, that's going to happen. Okay.
Yep.
We know. It's going to be embarrassing. Things are going to happen. And then you have to go for a different kind of lifestyle of like, how can I live connected and open with other people?
Yeah.
And you're probably not having those people in your life right now if that's your problem. Mm-hmm. So you have to have faith that when you take that leap and you're going to go into that different kind of way of living, that you're going to find those people.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that you're going to find those people.
Right.
Like, really? But when you think about it, it's
somehow.
Like, did you really meet everyone in the world yet? Did you do that? Because I don't remember you doing that. I didn't do that.
7 billion people.
Yeah, it's actually easy to reason your way out of mm-hmm. if you really get in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just say you got to commit to living a different way and know that it's not going to be certain.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of faith.
It really is.
But if you want to change anything in your life, you just got to know that direction you're going to go and kind of where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And if you have that determination and you have that faith, things are just going to happen. And it's weird because I can't tell you I can't tell you some like equation, 2 + 2 equals 4. Simple,
right.
Straightforward, makes perfect sense.
It's
I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
It never looks like that. It's weird that mm-hmm. so many weird things have happened in my life where I thought I wanted to do some crazy thing. It seemed insane, but I had it in my mind and I was going to take a leap of faith. And then doors just started to open.
Yeah.
Wrong doors started to close.
Yep.
Things just start to happen. So it's cool because people think like, I don't know how to do that. How am I supposed to do that? You can,
mm-hmm.
but it's weird.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an annoying answer because it's not 2 + 2 = 4, but it's like there's more out there than you think. And if you want something, you're going to find your way to it.
Yeah.
If you're determined and you open your heart, weird things will happen.
Open
I've seen
your
it happen.
Heart.
Seen it happen to enough people in my life. Enough
where
people
I believe it.
From and you've seen it from completely different walks of life, different places, to realize like, okay, this is the way life is.
Yes.
For everyone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Yep.
This is how it is.
And that's why there's power in telling your story.
And that makes me feel hope.
Yes.
Hope for the future.
Hope for the future generations.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to acknowledge you for telling your story because I know it's like more of a newer thing for you, just like me. And I think it's incredible that you've finally come to this place like where you can share this not only like publicly, but with other people in your life where you can talk about your emotions and like really share how you really did suffer from depression for so long and stuff. And I think it's cool that you are still in the process of this and you're not fully overcoming it yet. Like I might still be, and you might still be in our own processes for the rest of our lives. We don't really know. Like it's a journey, but the fact that you're talking about it makes you have power over it. So thank you for telling.
Appreciate
this. Amen. Where can people find you on social media, Christina?
My Instagram is Christina Cimorelli, Cimorelli. Twitter, Christina Sim. And then all of our band stuff is really where you're going to see me more.
Yeah, right.
The band Instagram, Cimorelli Band. Band YouTube, Cimorelli.
Wait.
The band.
Yeah. YouTube is Cimorelli The Band.
But you just search Cimorelli.
True.
No one has to do the www dot anymore.
I know, right? It's so nice.
Yeah, so everywhere. I'm everywhere on the internet.
You can find me all over the globe.
You can find me everywhere on the globe. Yes, I'm everywhere on this globe.
Okay, good enough. If you want more life-giving conversations like what you heard today, you can click the rather large subscribe button that is red. And if you want to chat with me, you can follow me and DM me on Instagram, which is just The Rage Boss. You'll find some wild content on there, I promise you. And you can DM me on Twitter, which is the same thing, The Rage Boss. Hit me up. Appreciate you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.